A presidential tweet just put a federal government shutdown back on the table. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Until a few minutes ago, a $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill appeared headed for a presidential signature and becoming law of the land. Yet not so fast. Via Twitter, the president just now suggested he might veto the spending bill worked out in Congress. This because the president did not get the funding he sought to build the wall with Mexico. And he says because the bill does not resolve the fate of people who came to the U.S. illegally as children. The stock market opened just after that tweet. And we find the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 37 points, not quite 0.2%. The S&P 500 is up 0.4%. The benchmark 10-year interest rate is flat at the moment. Yesterday, the Dow fell 724 points, not quite 3%, amid the new China tariff headlines. Let's get reaction to the chance of the surprise potential new budget impasse. Here's Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
Look how much the market was down yesterday. It might be difficult to tell how much it cares because there's so much strain evident anyway. One of the really noteworthy things about the drop in equities yesterday is that for the first time, the bond market sort of took notice, and we saw credit spreads for industrial companies gapping wider. That's true fear by investors that the ability of these companies to service their debt might be affected. It's an indication of how serious the tariff issue is. And because of that, it's not clear that we can actually wrap our minds around the possibility of a shutdown on top of all this other stuff going on.
So we'll see how this develops throughout the day into the weekend. But another set of headlines that are dominating the screens here on Wall Street have to do with tariffs. As much as $60 billion worth of Chinese products are targeted by the latest. However, the Trump administration is exempting from those other metals tariffs, steel and aluminum, some of our allies, the European Union, parts of South America.
Well, exempting sort of, right? Because the exemptions are good through May 1st, as long as those countries enter into bilateral trade negotiations with the United States. And it, on top of that, the way the exemption is worded, they won't have to pay the full amount of the tariff, which implies they might have to pay some partial amount. So I'm not certain, particularly the European Union, is going to be mollified. And then, of course, May 1st is just about a month and a half away. It's not a long time. They're trying to pull those countries to the negotiating table, you know, stop the sort of pre-bluster and get down to business.
Always good to talk to Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, David.
We're also covering the banking giant Citigroup getting into the gun control business. The Marketplace Morning Report podcast has it, if you missed that on the air. Now I want to look at the downstream effects of news that all 735 Toys R Us stores are closing. Chapter 11 bankruptcy is supposed to give companies a chance to restructure. But for Toys R Us workers and suppliers, this is very hard. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
In September 2017, drowning in more than $5 billion of debt, Toys R Us filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. First thing you got to know?
Chapter 11 does not mean that a company is dead.
Pamela Foey teaches at Indiana University's Maurer School of Law. Chapter 11 is a lever a company can pull when it's in too much debt. The filing temporarily protects the company from everybody it owes money to while it gets its finances in order and comes up with a plan.
What the business will look like going forward, who's going to get paid.
But in the meantime, pulling that lever can leave everybody that does business with a company in purgatory. For a retailer, that starts with suppliers. Last September, Toys R Us was getting ready for the holidays, stocking up on toys it hadn't paid for yet. Then it filed for Chapter 11. And when that happens,
all of the money that they owe you gets sort of frozen, and it becomes an issue for the court to figure out how much they're going to pay out.
This CEO of a toy maker asked to remain anonymous because he was still doing business with Toys R Us. He says when the retailer filed for Chapter 11, it owed his company $4 million for toys it had already delivered.
We're a relatively small company, and, you know, to have $4 million of cash just suddenly disappear in thin air, it was a scary proposition.
His company negotiated with Toys R Us, but ended up taking a loss. Another part of a business left in limbo during Chapter 11, the workers. Toys R Us had 36,000 around the country. LaShonda Walker, who's 41 and a sales associate at a Toys R Us store in Emeryville, California, heard the news secondhand.
My kids started calling me, Mom, didn't you say you just started working at Toys R Us? There's something online saying that they're going into bankruptcy. I was like, what are you talking about?
Then in January, more bad news. Toys R Us was closing a fifth of its stores, including hers.
I got to look for something else because I still got to take care of my children. I still have little ones that need stuff. So,
while all this was going on, Toys R Us was coming up with that plan to reorganize the business. Thing is, in a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, the banks have to agree to those terms. If they don't, a retailer may have to shut down entirely, liquidating its stores to pay its debts. And that's what's happening at Toys R Us. Earlier this month, the retailer told workers it's closing the rest of its stores. Everyone it owes money to will have to get in line. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Yesterday, Toys R Us founder Charles Lazarus died at the age of 94. He'd retired in 1994. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.